today I want to talk to you about the suddenly of God. The suddenly of God. We're in this season of uncommon miracles and in this year of uncommon miracles. But I want to talk to you. Suddenly God is going to do some things that will blow your minds, that will blow the lid off of your life. Some of us, we got a lid on our life and we feel like we're not going forward, and it's like we are in the like a barrel and you're trying to hit the lid off, and you're trying to hit the lid off, and you're trying to punch it and you're trying to kick it, but the lid wouldn't move. I want to tell somebody that God will do it suddenly. God will do it suddenly. Somebody shout suddenly. God will do it. Say suddenly. God will do it. It might look impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. Mighty God. And the Holy Ghost has been talking this word to me. And I'm trying to digest it. And oh my God, the Holy Ghost, just give grace this morning. Because you're about to do something suddenly in this place. Hallelujah. In our lives. A happy new year to everyone. For those who weren't here New Year's Eve, it's so good to see everyone. A happy new year. I trust that you will encounter uncommon miracles this year. Amen. In your life, in your family, your children, those online, a happy new year. All right, you ready? Yeah. Verse 1. It's on the board if you don't have your Bibles. It says, then Elisha said, then who? Elijah. Who? Elijah. Who? Elijah. And if you know anything about Elisha, whatever he says, come to pass. Because he is a man of God. Amen? When the woman was in trouble, she said, get me to the man of God. Then Elisha said, hear. What he said? Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow. Oh God, Monday. Somebody shout, Monday's my breakthrough. Listen, we stand on the word. Tomorrow, about this time, a sea of fine. Somebody say fine. No, not regular flour. Fine flour. Flour that is ready to be used for baking. Who knows when you're baking cakes, sometimes you got to sift the flour. Talk to me. Come on, bakers, talk to me. Sometimes you got to, and when we grow up in Guyana, we didn't get fine flour. So my mom, at Christmas time, she have the big strainer and she's sifting flour because she want to make it fine flour. Tell somebody fine flour. Tell somebody the fine things of this world belongs to you. Tell them the good things of this world, God has it in store for me, for you. For us, come on, tell him, fine things. Ah. Oh, God. Now, watch here. Oh. Who said this? Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, a sea of fine flour shall be sold for a what? For a shekel. And 2 seahs of barley for a shekel. At the gate of Samaria. Okay, verse 2. Now, so an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered who? Who he answered? The man of God, and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it. Look here. You shall see. You shall? See. You shall? See. Tell your neighbor and say, some people are about to see the impossible in my life and your life, but they shall not eat of it. They're gonna see it, but they're not gonna have any part in it. Come on, somebody, listen. This is God's word to us today. Ah! Woo! The Holy Ghost, just use this word and speak to us today in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Somebody say, the God of the suddenly is coming my way. Hallelujah. And if you the word suddenly means happening or coming unexpectedly. Anybody ever had an unexpected visitor show up at your house and you were like, what are you doing here? You ever got that from somebody? And sometimes you feel bad, but sometimes they're good. But they're like, oh my God, I didn't expect you. I didn't cook. I didn't clean. I'm everything. But it happened how? Suddenly. It happened abruptly. It happened unforeseen. It happened unexpected. Unlooked for. Listen, God is getting ready to do some of this in your life. Some unlikely things are going to happen for you. Amen? Some surprising things are going to happen for you. That is the God of the sudden. That is the God of the sudden. Some demons you've been fighting is going to flee and run seven ways because God is getting ready to do it. How? Suddenly. Oh my God. It's going to be startling. It's going to be so good. That's what suddenly, some of what suddenly means. It's, oh my God, unplanned, unintended, out of the blue, in a flash, like a shot. It's going to happen. So let me tell you a little backstory here. Now, Elisha releases this word under tragic situation. At this point, the king was mad at him. The king said, by tomorrow, I'm going to kill this man. By tomorrow, I am going to kill Elisha. Why? Samaria found itself in a great famine. Go back to chapter 6. They were in a great famine and things were going out of control. They were in a famine like they have never experienced. Let me tell you how bad it was. It was this bad that they were eating animals they would not usually eat. They were eating donkeys. They were eating donkeys. Now it wasn't just the donkey they were eating. They were eating the head of the donkey. And the head of the donkey was so expensive. The head of the donkey was sold for 80 pieces of silver. That is about $307 for a donkey head. That's how bad it was. They were in a mess. They weren't just eating that. They were eating the dung. Dove's dung. Go back to chapter 24, chapter 6, verse 24, 25, 26. You'll see it there in verse 25. So they were in trouble. They were in a mess because there wasn't even food. If you think you're going through anything, you're going through nothing. You still got food on your table. You still got bread in your cupboard. You still got crackers in the tin. You got sardine and mackerel there that you can open at any time. And you can fry and you can eat. But here, the people were in dire need. Not only that, they were eating their own kids. They were eating their own children. Look what happened here. Let's go over to chapter 6. Verse 26 says, then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, stay with me, right? As the king was passing on the wall, a woman cried out to him and says, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, Where can I find help for you? He said, if God, in this situation that we are in, if God does not show up and help you, there is no help. If God doesn't show up and help you, I can't help you, woman. Look at the trouble. Then the king said to her, what is the trouble? And she answered, this woman said to me, give me your son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So guess what she did? She gave up her son and they eat her son. Because the famine was so bad. Sometimes we feel like we are in a jam and our back is against a wall. But it never got this bad. It never got this bad. Now, let's back up. Now, there was Samaria and there was Judah. There was Israel and Judah. Samaria is in Israel. Now, mind you, this is not Judah. It is one kingdom that's split in two. But on one side, there is one part of the kingdom that hates God and detests God and have gone fully into idolatry and have submitted themselves to the devil. And the outcome, God told them, he said, when you go into the land, if you forget me, I will cause your enemies to come upon you. And your enemies will subdue you and you will serve them. What was happening here? The king of Syria, he and his army, his name is Ben-Hadad, he saddled his army and they were oppressing. And they besieged Israel until nothing was left in Israel. They went into there and they kind of flatlined their vegetation. They flatlined their animals. They killed out all the horses. Because in those days, military power was based on the amount of horse that you have. That you can go into battle with your horse and with your men. Now, Israel was now down to about 5 horse. Why? All because they forgot God. They walked away from God. So it was so bad. The lady said, she ate my son yesterday, but now it's time to eat her son, and she will not submit it. So, King, I need your help. When the man heard that, now who is this man? The man is Jeroboam. He is the son of Ahab. If we know anything about Ahab and Jezebel, they were contrary to God. They were what? Contrary to God. They hated God. Jezebel hated God and she also hated all the prophets of God. Remember when she sent news to Elijah and she said, Elijah, if by the end of today or I'm going to kill you, your head will not be on your shoulders. Because what did he do? He took them up to Mount Carmel and he showed them that the true and living God is God Almighty. And he put them to shame on Mount Carmel. So now there was a reason for her to be angry. If you ever prove somebody that their God is not real, they get mad. They get mad, right? So now, Jeroboam now, after he heard the story of the woman, he said, now, this has to be judgment. This has to be judgment. This has to be that God is fighting us. So who is closest to God? Who is the representative of God? It's Elisha. And the grudge goes down from one generation to another. His mother seeked to kill Elijah. He said, guess what? My mama didn't get Elijah, but I'm going to get Elisha. So he said, I'm going to kill Elisha by tomorrow. Let's read what it says. In verse 31 of chapter 6. Then he said, God do so to me and more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. So he was heading there to go and kill him. 32. But Elisha was sitting in his house. Where was he sitting? The man was in his house. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, now this is Elijah speaking to the people sitting with him. He said, do you see how this son of a murderer
this son of a murderer.
Remember when Ahab killed, Jezebel set up for Naboth to be killed so that they can get the field. She wanted, Ahab wanted the field of Naboth, and he said, no, I'm not going to sell it. This belongs to my family. I'm not going to sell. He wasn't like, what's his name? Jacob's brother. What's he called? Esau. He wasn't like Esau, who was ready to sell his birthright. He held on to his birthright. He saw value in it. And he said, we're not going to sell it. We're going to hold on to it. And what what did Jezebel say? Jezebel said, oh, Ahab, you are king. You're going to let a dog like Naboth tell you he's not going to give you the land? He said, don't worry. I'm going to get the land for you. So they set up, they kill him so that they could get the vineyard. So that's what he's talking about. He said, the son of a murderer. The son of a murderer is coming. Has sent someone to take away my head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door. What to do? Shut the door and hold fast the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet right behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was a messenger coming down to him. And the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? So now he is on his way to kill the man of God. But mighty God, the moment he showed up at the prophet's house, God did not let Elisha retaliate. God put a word in Elisha's mouth. Who knows that the word that God put in your mouth is able to change that your future. It is able to alter your enemy. Hold on. It's able to hold back your enemy. But sometimes God puts a word in our mouth and we are afraid to release the word. We are afraid to speak the word because we feel like the word is too extraordinary, and the word is too powerful, and the word is way beyond our ability. What Elisha was talking here was beyond his ability, but the source from which the word came is able to do exceedingly abundantly above we could ask, think, or imagine. I want to tell somebody, do not be afraid of the suddenly. Do not be afraid to be outlandish. Do not be afraid to be unreasonable. Do not be afraid to sound ridiculous. Do not be afraid to, oh God, sound illogical. Because man, when God gets ready to do a thing, he doesn't have to do it our way. He don't have to do it the world's way. He does it his way. How mighty God. He does it his way. His way. Ephesians 3:20 says, the Amplified, now to him who is able to what? Carry out his purpose. His purpose. And sometimes God will do things suddenly and outlandishly to show even your enemies that he is God. You know, sometimes we say, oh God, do this for me, do this. No, sometimes God do things to shut them out of your enemy. Let's say that. He does things to shut the mouth of our enemy. He said, now unto him that is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly. The God that we serve, he is not limited by logic. He is not limited about what man counts as real. He is God and he will have his way. He said, I sent my word and it shall not return unto me a void, but it shall what? Accomplish what I've sent it to do. It doesn't have to make sense to the studied. It doesn't have to make sense to the lawyers and to the doctors and to the scientists. It doesn't have to make sense to Almighty God, the philosophers of the day. But when God said he's going to do something, he is more than able to do what he has commanded and what he has committed to his name. So Elisha releases the word and he says, by tomorrow. So if the donkey head was being sold for $307, right? And the dove's down was being sold for $19.18. How much would be a pound of flour? How much would be a pound of grain that people eat? Just imagine, it was not readily available, but if it was available, just imagine what it would sell for. And here, the man of God is saying, by tomorrow, suddenly things are going to change. But look at number two. Verse 2 says, and an officer on whose hand the king leaned. I want to tell you today, watch the people that you lean on. Watch the shoulders that you lean on. Watch the people that you depend on. Watch them. Watch them. Be careful. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed is that man. Financially prosperous is that man. Healthy. His heart is bubbling with joy. Blessed is that man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or the counsel of the unbeliever, those who do not receive God at his word. The problem was Jehoram, he was leaning on an unbeliever, a man that did not believe the word of God. One in whose hand the king leaned. Maybe you're leaning on your mom, but your mom doesn't believe in the supernatural working of God. They're going to hold you back. Maybe you're leaning on a friend who does not believe that God is able to do the impossible. You will never get the impossible because you're leaning on their word. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Much more, leaning on the understanding of an unbeliever. Here, Jehoram was leaning on the shoulders of an unbeliever. I want to tell you, watch where you lean. Forget leaning and stand on the promises of God. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the unfailing promise of God. Lean on the God that is able to do miracles. The God that when they got to the Red Sea, all he did was lift the rod and the water split open. When Lazarus was in the dead, it was impossible for him to come out because day one, day two, day three went by. And guess what happened? Lazarus was buried and he was in there and Jesus never showed up. But on day four, mighty God, men taught that it was impossible, that Jesus was going to mourn, but Jesus wasn't going to mourn. Jesus was going to bring a dead situation back to life. Suddenly, and the suddenly of God does not depend on the temperature of the environment. And oh mighty God, even if you're dead and you're gone bad and you look hopeless, he says, I am able to do it because I am God. I have sent my word. A word from God is more powerful than any economic temperature. The word from God is more important than any economic condition. Oh my God, a word from God is more powerful than any medical diagnosis. A word from God is more powerful than what you've been going through, because a word from God would break and shake hell. Mighty God, the word of God will break the enemy's hold. A word from God will fill your heart with hope. A word from God will fill your heart with hope for the future. People say you're not going to make it, but God sends a word. And then the word just ricochets in your spirit. And the word of God takes hold. And the word of God puts a fire in your belly. And all of a sudden you begin to move. You start to take one step at a time. Two step. And then you're going to the third one, because a word was released. We need to believe the word of God. The God that we serve is the God that sets the captive free. The God that we serve is the God that lets men out of prison. The God that we serve is the God that caused the lame to walk. The God that we serve is the God that puts word in a dumb man's mouth. The God that we serve is the one that put audio in a deaf ears. I want to tell you today, believe the word of God and prosper. Believe the word of God and prosper. Believe the word of God that suddenly he will make it happen. What didn't change for generations? Suddenly, God will cause a wind to blow, just like on the day of Pentecost. They were in the room, and the Bible said, suddenly, there was a sound. They were praying. But suddenly, somebody say, I'm expecting my suddenly. I'm expecting my suddenly. And I don't care how my suddenly comes. I don't care who it is God uses, but it's coming suddenly. My breakthrough comes suddenly. My healing comes suddenly. My liberty comes suddenly. Stop drawing up your future. Let God move suddenly. Stop putting limits on God. You know, oh God, sometimes the plans we make for our life, God looks at it and he laughs. He laughs. The Bible says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but God has the final say. You're sitting in this room and you're saying, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I want to tell you, it is better for you to be like the man in the book of Mark. When he said in Mark 9:23, he said, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, with tears. He said, Lord, I believed, but help my unbelief. You see, the problem is the man that Jeroboam leaned on, he said it can't happen. He shut down the power that came with the word. He shut down the glory that was traveling with the word. He shut down the power. Listen to me. You can shut it down, but the person next to you is going to get it because they believe. You can doubt, but the person next to you gonna get it because they believe. Jesus said, believe and you shall see. Believe and you shall see. The conditions was right to doubt. The conditions did not breed faith because people were eating their own kids. They were eating animals they should not eat. They were eating things that were out of covenant. So the atmosphere was right for doubt. I want to tell somebody this morning, everybody is saying you can't afford a house in this time. You better not agree with that. Somebody saying you can't get a new car. Don't agree with that. Somebody saying your future is not bright. Don't agree with that. Somebody saying, oh, these politicians are all out to rob us. Don't agree with that. They might rob you, but they ain't robbing me. It is time for us to believe right and speak right. And if you don't got nothing to say, keep it quiet. Say, God, I believe, but I got some unbelief. Help it. God would rather you be honest. Hello? This was the child. When Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, came out, the boy had epilepsy. And the apostles couldn't help him. The disciples could not help him. And Jesus said to them, where is your faith? But and then he asked the man, he said, do you believe? The man said, Lord, I believe. But he started to cry. And he's like, I've seen my son in this trauma all the years. I've seen what epilepsy did with him. It would take him into the water and it would take him into the fire. And I would have to run and rescue him. I've been dealing with this all my life. And if there is help, I know it is you. And Jesus said, boy, do you believe? He said, thou, sir, I believe. But I got some unbelief in me. Help me with it. Take it out of me. Remove it. I want to see the big things, but I got some unbelief. I got some unbelief. Would you cut them away? Would you break it away? Don't be happy in your unbelief. Come with weeping. Come with crying. Come with travailing. Say, God, help my unbelief. Too often we sit in church with unbelief and we sit and we own it. We sit on it. But God is trying to rid somebody of unbelief this morning. The Holy Ghost is in this room. And he's here to rid you of unbelief. He's here to rid you of lack of faith. He's here to put faith in you. He's here to build you up. He's here. But after this Sunday, you're going to begin to believe God for uncommon miracles. Uncommon miracles will come alive to you. What was dead is coming alive. What was dead is coming alive. What was dead is coming alive. What was dead? God is getting ready to use unpredictable sources to be a blessing to his church. Suddenly, verse 3. Now there were four lepers. Four lepers. Leprous men. Hey, nobody expect leprous men to be a blessing to them. But God is getting ready to charge. God is getting ready to charge the unthinkable people. The people that are useless to society. The people that are counted out of the game. God is getting ready to set you up to loot the enemy's camp. Ha! Verse 3. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another. Now, they were in the famine as well. But they were outside of the city. They were on the outside. They were not on the inside. They were outside because they were leprous. So they put them out of the city. Because what? Leprosy transfers from one person to another. So they don't want it to catch. They had the cooties of the day. So they put them out the city. You know, sometimes people look at you and they don't want to touch you. They don't want to be your friend. They don't want to associate with you. They say you're below their standards. I'm getting ready to tell the simple people that the Bible says God takes the simple things of the world. God used the simple man of the world to bring the wise to naught. Four leprous men. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Get out of unbelief. Don't sit in unbelief. It's going to kill you. If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city. Right? And we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Hey. So they said, either way, we're dying. But here's the plan. Now, therefore, come. Let us what? Surrender to the army of the Syrian. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die, because they're going to die anywhere. It was no big deal. They're going out whether they like it or not. They are on their way out. But what is important here is that they were willing to surrender themselves to someone. What happened with the church? We refuse to surrender our wills to our God. We refuse to surrender our faith to the suddenly of God. We refuse to surrender ourselves to the miracle working power of Almighty God. We get so accustomed and comfortable in the mundane. You might be in a sickness and you're saying, the doctor said there's no hope. So I'm just going to do what I normally do and I'm going to take the medicine. I want to tell you, God says, step out of that. God says, step out by faith. They step out by faith. See what God is saying? God is telling somebody today to step out by faith. You may have been on a job and you're not going anywhere. God says, step out by faith. Oh, mighty God, you've probably been looking to buy a house and you're not been finding anything. It is time to step out by faith and go looking for that property. It is time for you to make a move. Get up. Get off your hands. Get off your position of complacency and finding fault and backbiting. No, get up and move. They entered the city. Let's go. Next verse. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if not, we'll just only die. So verse 5. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. So they're on their way. They're going to go surrender to the enemies of Israel, right? Because they said, we got to live, or if we're going to die, let's just die. Who knows? Who knows? Sometimes that's all it takes. Is a little faith to say, who knows? Who knows if it's going to work? But yeah, I'm going to try it nonetheless. The power is in the movement. Get moving. To their surprise, no one was there. Verse 6. Suddenly, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots. And the noise of horses. The noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites, mighty God, and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact. What did they leave? They left their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Stop right there. So what happened here? The men said, let's just get up. Let's just move. Let's just go surrender to the other side. If we go into Samaria, we're going to die nonetheless. If we go on this side, there's a chance we might live. But if we die, it's dying nonetheless. But the Bible says, as they began to move, God caused the movement, because in those days they would put bells on the leper's foot. So whenever a leprous person is coming, you hear clink, 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 and everybody go, woo, out the way. But the mighty, powerful God, when they began to move, not because Israel loved God, but because the man of God released the word. The word of God was released. And in Isaiah 55, 11 says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me, what? Void, but it shall accomplish what I please. In this moment, it pleased God to show the naysayer and to show the people of Israel, this was God's love for them and also his power in demonstration for a people that rejected him. How many of us, we reject God, but yet God showed us goodness? How many of us, we turn our back on him, but he never turned his back on us? He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And as they began to move, the little bell became the sound of an army. I want to tell you, you think you're not going anywhere. You think your troubles will never move. You think your situation will never shift. Wait till God gets ready to move on your behalf. Hold on. Israel wasn't expecting this. This was unexpected. But because the word of God was released, the word of God was released that by tomorrow, fine flour will sell for what? One shekel. And two seahs of barley will sell for one shekel. God caused the bells on the foot of a leprous, four leprous men to sound like the armies of nations. Not just one army. They said, oh my God, we got to get out of here because that sounds like a whole lot of armies coming against us. It looks like Israel has found money from somewhere to hire the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians to gang up on us. We need to get going because based on how it sounds like trouble. I came to tell somebody, suddenly God is going to cause your enemies to flee. Because they're going to hear the armies of the living God coming to fight on your behalf. If I got one believer in the room, it's going to change it. If you believe God, the God that we serve, he doesn't need the help of man. He does not need a man to believe. No, he says, if I said it, I am quite able. So the lepers went into the camp. And when they got to the camp, everything was intact. The men did not even have time to jump on their horse. Based on the song that they heard, they took off by foot. Now in Israel, it was only 5 horses left. That's how bad the famine was. Just a few horses. When they got to the place and they look at what happened, the leper said, okay, let's take and let's hide it so we can live on it. So they went back and they were going to take more and they said, let us hide it. And then they went back again. And when they went back, they said, you know what? What we are doing here is wrong. We cannot just store up for ourselves. When I tell you, God is going to use the rejects to be a blessing to you. Look out for it. People who are against you, God is able to use them to bless you. People that even you despise, God will raise them up to be a blessing to you. Watch your relationships. And mighty God, when they went into the camp, look what they found. Suddenly, man, and when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, this is verse 8. They went in to one tent. Mighty God. They ate and they drank. Imagine the joy. You living in a famine. And all of a sudden you buck up on a buffet. You should picture it. Because these guys are accustomed to living on scraps. Because they're kicked out of the city, much less in a famine. You can picture them. They're eating and food flying everywhere. They're drinking and they're drinking wild because there is so much for them to enjoy. Because the famine was not in the other nations. The famine was in Samaria. And now they're eating, they're drinking, and then they say, you know what, we're going to hide some stuff for ourselves. We're going to store up some stuff. And they carried from its silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And they came back second trip and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Now third time they realized, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is the day of good news. I want to tell somebody, today is the day of good news. Come on, declare it. Today is the day of good news. You're breaking through today. You're breaking out on the right. You're breaking out on the left. Strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords so that you're going to break out. Because today is a day of good news. And they said, and we remain silent? If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. This is conviction. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeeper of the city, saying, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. No human sound. No human sound. No human sound. Only what? Only horses and donkeys tied, and their tents intact. Then the Bible says that the riches of the heathen is laid up for the righteous. God will cause us to go into some places and find things well prepared. He said, I will put a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will put a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's going to cause your cup to run over suddenly. And they went in, and then the king sent out men to see if it was true. And let's go down to the end. Let's go down to verse 17. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. So now they found out that it was true. Okay. No. Let's not go there so fast. Let's go to 15. And they went after them to Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of what? Garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went. Who went? The people went. I remember yesterday was a famine. Yesterday was eating your kids. Yesterday was trying to lay hold on the head of a donkey if you could afford it. Just imagine who couldn't afford it. They were probably cooking dirt. Mighty God. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a sale of flour, what, look at here, a fine flour was sold for what? For a shekel. And two sales of barley for a what? Shekel. According to what? According to the word of the Lord. The God that we serve, he is faithful. God is true to his word. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. When God releases a word, he is faithful to bring it to pass. And it may look like it is delayed, and it looks like it's not happening, but suddenly God will come true. And what we call suddenly is just that we're on God's timeline. We call it suddenly. We are surprised, but we are on God's agenda all the time. We are on his mind, and he is working it out step by step. He's moving us from grace to grace. He's moving us to glory to glory. He's moving us from faith to faith. He's moving us from miracle to miracles. Watch your confession. Watch what you believe. Verse 19. Then the officer, mighty God, had answered the man of God and said, now look, if the Lord make windows in heaven, could such a thing happen? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened. So it happened. So it happened. So it happened to him. So it happened to him that he had an opportunity to see. He had an opportunity. He experienced it with his eyes. But because of his what? Unbelief. And because of him doubting. And also because of his mockery and his pride. Whenever a word of God is released, humble yourself under it. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will what? Lift you up. Don't despise the word of God. Don't despise the word of God. For the people, what is it? And it happened to him. For the people trampled him in the gate and he died. What a sad end. But I want to tell you, God is able to do the unthinkable suddenly. If we would only trust God, if we would only get honest. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. Mighty God. Didn't we just see that with that one? He stood up against the word of God, and his end was so quick. Just like how fast the miracle happened, that's how quick his enemy, God's enemy, was dealt with. Do not be afraid of your enemy. When God is about to do a thing, he does not need permission from the naysayers. Suddenly God will do what he says he will do. The grass withers and the flower fails. But what? The word of the Lord endures forever. I said the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's just bow our heads today. Suddenly God will come true for you. Suddenly God will turn things around. Suddenly. When you least expect. In the moment you think now, God does a lot of things suddenly. Even Jesus returned, the Bible says, in an hour we think not, the Son of Man shall appear. Nobody thought that Jesus would have came out of the grave, but suddenly God rose him triumphantly. I want to tell you, resurrection power is about to hit your situation. Just like God did it for Samaria, God will do it for you because a word of God is released. Let us all stand today. Ekando rusanda dabashika roboko sikele brokondo dobo shata. Mighty God, we just praise you today. We thank you that you're the God of miracles. We thank you that you specialize in things that are impossible. We thank you, God, that you are the God that caused, oh God, the leprous man to song like mighty armies. Much less more, us, the people of faith who have believed your word. I pray, mighty God, that you will intervene on your people's behalf. That suddenly, God, their elevation will come. Suddenly, their prosperity will come. Suddenly, their light will break forth. In the name of Jesus, suddenly, their locations will change. Suddenly, they're going to switch jobs. Suddenly, their children will get scholarships. Suddenly, oh God, doors will be opened. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as we stand here this first Sunday of 24, we decree and declare over our lives that suddenly, God, you will come through for your people. In the name of Jesus, sudden miracles will happen, sudden opportunities, sudden promotion, in the name of Jesus, because you have sent forth your word, and we hold fast to our confession that you are Lord. We hold fast to your promise that you are able to do exceedingly. You are able to do super abundantly. We believe you. Is there somebody that says, I believe him today? And maybe you're one of them that says, you know, I believe, but Lord, you need to help my unbelief. You can be honest. Just take a moment and talk to God. Just talk to him. Lord, touch your people. Lord, touch them. Touch your hearts. Where there is doubt, I ask you, God, to remove it. Where there is fear, I pray you remove it. I pray, God, you give them, oh God, a heart to trust you and to believe you, for there suddenly, in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, just do it today, because you are God. You are our help. And God, with you, we can do all things. There is nothing impossible with you. We just trust in the name of Jesus. We anchor our life in you. And we wait for your breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.